So, well, let's look to the word this morning. If you've caught that just a theme that the Lord has been speaking to me. We read, some of you many of you are familiar with Psalm 33 anyhow, but I read that at the end of the message last week. And then, of course, just as we began to pray this morning, began our prayer time by reading out of Psalm 33, and just that strong word for us to be a people who are depending, learning to depend upon God more and more, just to the point. That's why I mentioned David last week. I just thought he didn't just have deep or demonstrate a deep dependence upon God. There was a total dependence upon God, and of course it's not a once and done kind of a thing. It's something that we continue to put our trust in the Lord, but the need to be okay, God, I'm just gonna, if you keep putting me on the wheel and keep tinkering, which he does, Lord, I'm just gonna continue to stay right there. I'm not gonna jump off the wheel. I'm not gonna jump off the altar. I'm not gonna harden my heart. I'm going to and de determined to stay soft and pliable and deepening my dependence upon you. Anybody else? Title of that song, Jumping Out, Lord, You Have My Heart. So I came across this little article. It says, All I Need to Know. I thought that's a good. Yeah, it is. It's not as short. It's not just a one-liner. It's an 11-liner. But All I Need to Know, I thought, that's if this is all I need to know, and the rest of it goes, All I Need to Know, I Learned from Noah's Ark. Well, that he was even like, well, that's it's even biblically based. And then the last thing before they jump into that, and it's quite amazing. Number one, don't miss the boat. Number two, remember that we are all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number four, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. This is pretty good stuff, don't you think? Number six, build your future on high ground. We can relate to that. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. There's something there too. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. Number 10, two more. Remember the ark was built by amateurs. Ready for this? The Titanic by professionals. Number 11, no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. That's pretty good little. I like that. I told the guys, in fact, it wasn't until I came in the sanctuary this morning and just kind of saw Dan and Ike back there and just a couple of lines. I don't even remember what we were saying back to each other. And I said, that's a good title for this morning's message. I hadn't titled this morning's message until that moment. Here it is. Risks. So RISKS, risks. In fact, let's all say risks. Risks. I think you can say it better than me, although it's only one syllable, okay? What was Bella saying that's two syllables? What was the word that she was? saying that making this one word into two syllables, and well, you'll think of it later, but you know how kids do that. I do that too. Risks required. That's the title this morning. Risks required. So Lord, we'll just pause a moment. Lord, we'll float a while, but not so passively, Lord, that we're oblivious, Lord, as we sit for a moment, quiet our hearts and give us ears to hear. We ask that you would help us to hear, help us to perceive, and then enable us to be centered, Lord, on your wheel, Lord, in a way that allows you to change us. Every one of us are just a little bit, at least, off center or need adjusting, need changing. Lord, we are a work in progress. And Lord, remind us that, yes, progress. You know, we're not regressing, we're progressing, because we're looking to you. It may feel sometimes like we're not progressing, but remind us, Lord, you are the potter. Change our hearts that we want to look more like you. And even though we can't fully understand your plans for our lives, we trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's the end of January already. Means we're zooming right toward March. We know what March brings. More rain, but but warmer rain and flowers. Yes, green. Did I forget a month? Well, but. Although February is longer this year, but it just means we're closer. That's all I was saying. I was just thinking. I watched the sun out my office window, and it used to, because of Evergreen Ridge there, it, a month ago, goes behind the mountain there before 4 o'clock, and now it's almost 5. And so, yeah, it's... Well, I mentioned that as we, beginning of the year, that just that challenge in my heart to strengthen my declaration and encouraging, you know, that prayer for each of us that we would strengthen. And we used Peter's confession, you are the Christ, but we aren't talking about just parroting and just saying the right words, but that our lives would make declarations regardless of the circumstances and the things that come our direction. What are you, have you noticed either a strengthening or just some strong declarations that you have made in these last few weeks? Anyone? Good.
I'm yours, you know, as much as humanly possible I can give you. I'm human, I take that. But, you know, I have to the Lord and I declare that will.
Yeah. Good. Good. Anyone else? Just kind of motoring along, or are you, you know, stopping to just say, God, my hope is in you. Lord, I am trusting you in this circumstance. You are the Christ. You are my only hope. I like that I'll give you a chance here a second. I like that line in Psalm 142 where it's Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, but you're my last chance. You're my only hope. It may sound like a declaration of desperation, but that's where we're at sometimes. Bruce?
I often
think I want it to be said of me that, you know, some of those things are true. That's something of the eternal. I'm challenged. Lord, am I expressing something? Is my life an expression of something of the eternal? You know, or is it just all about now and all about me and all about this circumstance? And so, yeah. Well, let's I guess I do want to give us opportunity just to talk a little bit. I felt like after last Sunday, when we're talking about deepening our dependence upon God, that that opportunity to really chew on that a bit and make sure that we're it's so easy to accumulate notes and teaching and not really allow some of those things to really be a part of our lives and just as I'm hearing you talk about your declaration. And it's encouraging to not just to me, but to each of us to see that there are not only opportunities, but there are examples of us depending and declaring. And so last week we were talking about David and just reminded again about, you know, here's a guy running for his life for years, running for his life, waiting, hiding, and really learning what it means to trust and not leaning on our own understanding, not relying on our own abilities, our own strength, our own might, our own wits. And because a lot of times we spend, you know, we're just trying to puzzle things out, you know, like I do with a Sudoku or something, you know, just trying to puzzle things out. And we do that, and as a result, it lends itself to fretting and to stressing and to getting anxious and to doubting and to fear and just all of those kinds of things. And I thought, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, when Jesus encourages the disciples and says, don't, you know, kind of, you know, in two words, stop it. Just don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Here's a much better alternative, you know. That's a much better solution. And how are you doing with that? How are you doing with this? When we talk about trust, I mean, we can just like, yeah, that's the right stuff. But how are we doing with trusting? It is, isn't it? Yeah. Good. Anyone else, Dan?
I trusted the Lord and asked him to heal my brother from cancer.
Uh-huh.
And now I've been asking for another thing. And that he heal him from alcohol.
Good.
But mostly by himself.
And it is. It's like TRC, it's a constant process of, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for this, and then I'm going to trust you for this, and I'm going to trust you for some other stuff. It's a lifelong, and we find ourselves, you know, David was that way. I mean, David demonstrated total dependence, but then there were some times a little bit later on where, you know, he kind of forgot about that and kind of got off track, and God drew him back because he did have, and that's the difference between Saul. He really did have a heart after God, even though he did stray a time or two or three. But God regarded him always because that was his heart, was to trust, was to follow, was to serve God. You know, what would you say would be the things that would most likely or most successfully prevent us from, hinder us from trusting God? Yeah. Either, you know, leaning and or focusing too much on our own sight or insight or
knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. I call it in my notes self-reliance. All of these, so much of these.
What people often don't, but come on, you know, I want the answers.
Let's have it.
I mean, yeah. It's just like, you called me here, so what am I to do?
Yeah, don't you like the fact that when we talked about this last week as well, but when Samuel came and anointed David to be king, he didn't tell him it was going to be 7 years before he'd get the crown on his head. Exactly. So you get to be king if you can live long enough to the day of coronation. And they had to wander. Yeah. 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 Yes. Offended. Bothered. Discouraged. Ticked. Yeah. And we discussed, you know, part of the deal was that we assume that, you know, the goal is just to get to the destination. We forget that the process is really for a purpose and that God really is more concerned about the process than he really is about us getting to what we think is the all-important destination. You know, we talked about, remember that it wasn't just Saul that had issues. You know, David had some issues as well. He had a little Saul in him that needed to be dealt with. And in fact, several of you come up and said, well, I know, I'm not going to go back and spend a lot of time talking about this, but I know who you were talking about. I was that person that pushes all your buttons. And you didn't believe me because I told you none of you knew who I was talking about. But you were convinced, but you notice I didn't talk about who I am like that to. I'm sure to none of you. I'm sure I don't push any of your buttons. You know, we all have stuff in us that needs to be dealt with, and unfortunately, the best process to deliver us and to mold us, you know, and shape us is to allow those people that just kind of push our buttons or kind of just challenge us. And God says, you know, they're not the enemy. They're the tool. They're the tool. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I want to talk just a little bit about risks. Good memory. Got a few minutes to get to the point. But and in fact, it was I came across something. John Wimber, the late John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard churches or movement. He always said that you spell faith, R-I-S-K. Spell faith, R-I-S-K. And I came across this little paragraph that John Henry Jowett, he was a great English preacher, that pointed out the temptation of self-preservation or self-reliance and its result in faithless lives. And so, you know, I thought this is a good contrast because The opposite of not depending upon God, the opposite of not becoming a person that is living a life by faith and allowing God to strengthen our faith is this. Listen to this. It is possible to evade a multitude of sorrows through the cultivation of an insignificant life indeed. If a man's ambition is to avoid the troubles of life, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'd like to avoid the troubles of life, thank you very much. At least I thought, is that if a man's ambition is to avoid the troubles of life, the recipe is simple. Shed your ambitions in every direction. Cut the wings of every soaring purpose and seek a life with the fewest contacts and relations. If you want to get through the world with the smallest trouble, you must reduce yourself to the smallest compass. Tiny souls can dodge Tiny souls can dodge through life. Bigger souls are blocked on every side. As soon as a man begins to enlarge his life, the resistances are multiplied. Let a man remove his petty, selfish purposes and enthrone Christ, and the sufferings will be increased on every side. Well, isn't that a mouthful? Yeah. I would like to avoid troubles in life at every cost. Yeah. Yeah. I want to read one other quote, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about Esther, just a little bit. One of the reasons why mature people stop growing and learning, this is a quote by John Gardner, one of the reasons why mature people stop growing and learning is that they become less and less willing to risk failure. I thought of Esther as well, and I just wanted to talk just briefly, just make a reference really to all 10 chapters of the book of Esther. And, you know, thinking, you know, here's a young, God-fearing, young Jewish beauty, won a beauty contest and became the queen of Persia. The only thing is the king didn't know that she was a Jew. And when her uncle, Mordecai, discovered a plot that would involve her people being killed, annihilated, he encouraged her strongly to go and approach the king and intercede in their behalf. And of course, her response, even though she really was God-fearing, her response was, no, wait a second, I can only go approach the king if he beckons me, if he requests. You don't just go in unannounced to the king. And this key verse, you know, in fact, if you could reduce the essence of the book of Esther to one verse, it would be the 14th verse of the fourth chapter. Let me read it to you. If you remain silent at this time, Mordecai tells Esther, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And this is what I put in bold on my notes, and who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And of course, many of you have heard that verse, and the application is, you know, to each of us. Now, we may not regard our position as a royal position. Sometimes, and most times, I think we minimize our position, in fact. And that's because we don't, who was it that talking about seeing, we don't see so clearly. We don't recognize the prominence of the position, because we use the world's measure and definitions to decide what is royal and what is a high position and what is a low position. And because we are all children of the king, royal priest, we're all, we all have royal positions. Yes? And the admonition isn't who knows. The admonition is because it is, because God has placed you in the place and position that you are, it is just for such a time as this. If we are trusting in Him, if we're depending upon Him, then risks won't even seem like risks, because we realize that's just part of what is expected. That's just part of living a life of trust, a life that is truly a life of faith. And of course, she does. She says, you know, the famous words, you remember them? If I die, if I perish, King James, if I perish, I perish. And made it her declaration. There's a declaration. I didn't hear anybody say that one. If I die, I die. But that needs to be our declaration, that, you know what, if I risk my reputation, if I lose my reputation, if I end up getting criticized for doing, you know, or getting shamed or whatever it is, or being made fun of or being spoken less of. If I die, I die. And that goes back to what Mike said earlier, just that whole thing of pride. If I just the setting aside of a pride of pride and of self-preservation and willing to let God use my life, lead my life, mold my life, and then, of course, you know, what happens as a result, she was used, and not only was she and her family and her people saved, but the very instigator of the whole plot, of course, he was hung and treated as he deserved. So I was thinking that this morning that you know, where in your life, you know, where is an area that you know there needs to be some risking, and that you're content to kind of stay in the shallow end, or maybe just even on the shore. What is that saying that goes something like calm seas don't make a sailor? You know, it's something like that. I think it probably goes along with the one that says all sunshine makes a desert. You know, it's, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, all those things. But just that reminder, that nudge, that you know, if, okay, God, you know, I'm all in. I think that was Gary's message, you know. I'm all in. And we just need to hear ourselves say that, make that declaration. I'm all in. I'm just gonna jump in. I'm just gonna trust in you. I'm not gonna be reckless. Faith isn't spelled R-E-C-K-L-E-S-S. It's R-I-S-K. It's just willing to take that next step and to trust. That reminds me. We'll close with this. Just another little thing I came across recently. And I wished I could remember. I think the guy's name was Wilson, because it reminded me of the, what's that movie about Tom Hanks, that Castaway, even though it's a little bit different thing, but his name was Wilson, and was concerned about all of the turmoil, and I think it was on the heels of the Great Depression, And so in 1940, moved to a small island in the South Pacific where he would escape all of that and just the blue sea, and the whole tropical paradise. And it was a little island by the name of Iwo Jima. So Lord, speak to our hearts about this area of risking, and remind us that risk really is required as a part of our walk, the process of our progress in our walk, in our lives, maturing, strengthening with you, Lord. And Lord, instead of just, you know, being the other extreme and just turning around, just facing the wind and beating our chests and kind of like bucking up and saying, trouble, bring it on, in kind of an arrogant or, again, self-reliant way. But at the same time, Lord, facing the troubles that come our way, not in our own strength, not in our own might, but like Barb and Jan and so many that just reminded us that, but looking to you, because our hope is in you, because we're depending upon you, facing those troubles, but with an eye looking up that says, Lord, I bring it on, and because I have nothing to fear, because I am trusting in you. In fact, I'm looking forward to see how we're going to get through this one. And God, I pray that would be the not just our declaration, but Lord, our demonstration, Lord, our experience. And Lord, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to get out of the boat, and then we're going to forget to keep our eyes on you, and we're going to start sinking, and we're going to get the rebuke. Why do you doubt? But we're going to listen, and we're going to let you restore us and help us along and lead us. So Lord, we're not asking for you to lead us around all of the troubles and all of the stuff that life brings. We're going to ask you to go with us, knowing that you've already promised to do so. You'll never leave us, never forsake us, never fail us. But if we walk through the valley of shadow death, when we walk through those dark times, you're with us, and we're trusting in you, leaning on you, not on our own understanding, deepening our dependence upon you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Reminds me of a hymn that in fact, I think it's the theme song in the new True Grit movie. Tell me if I'm wrong. Leaning on Jesus, isn't that right? And I just love it when you can watch a good old, I love Westerns anyhow, and watch a good old Western movie and hear a, yeah. More importantly, may God bless us with reminders that not only to lean on him, but there is safety, there is hope, strength, encouragement, and perhaps most of all, growth, as we learn to lean on him. Bless us. In Jesus' name. And what? and risk. Amen. Take the journey.